Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by a special guest this week, Brady Shearer. Brady, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Nils. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of yours, and you and I have been connected for a few years now. I would love if you would share a little bit about who you are to our audience and what it is you do.
Yeah, so I run a company called Pro Church Tools. Our online platform is prochurchtools.com. And our company is entirely based upon the principle that we want your church to seize the 167 hours beyond your Sunday service. And we're spending so much of our efforts on Sunday morning, the music and the stage design and the live stream and the message. And what we want you to do is allocate some of those resources to the other 167 hours, the way the digital dominates our lives nowadays. There's this whole new landscape that our churches can begin exploring and begin to make a difference. And we're all about helping churches do that.
I love it. Are there a few keys, I guess, to that you really focus in on around maximizing that time between the Sundays?
Yeah, I mean, the first is like figuring out which platforms are going to be the biggest for you. And so for most churches, that's going to be Facebook. Obviously. And Facebook is still, even outside of the church world, like the best platform when it comes to reaching people, both that are new, but also your existing church. And then it also comes down to like a framework shift. And Nils, when it comes to, you're not just taking what you're doing on Sunday and then like repackaging it and then putting it out again throughout the week. It's about creating content that's entirely separate from Sunday, accomplishing your mission statement outside of what you're already doing on Sunday. So one question that we tell churches to ask themselves a lot is, what would you post online and what would you be doing online if your Sunday service didn't exist? Hmm. Like if Sunday never happened and your mission statement was, you know, make disciples, know God, make him known, how would you go about accomplishing that digitally? That's really the best starting place to actually have a conversation on how can we do this in a real and meaningful way? Because if all you're doing is taking what you're doing on Sunday, repackaging it and like just posting it online, it's not going to work long term. Basically, you're not going to be able to see the results that social digital can actually offer you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there one church maybe that comes to mind, or maybe a couple that you've seen over the last year or 2 years that have really embraced that and you've seen it really transform their church?
Well, I mean, it's funny because I think this week, like right now, like two of my best friends and my pastors are at Inside Elevation right now in Charlotte. Yeah. And, you know, Elevation has done an amazing job pushing the limits in pretty much every way. Mm-hmm. Like their new worship album just came out this week. Obviously, you know, Stephen Furtick is so many people's favorite speaker. Yeah. But they also do a great job on social telling stories. So they'll do a great job kind of promoting what they're doing in person. And if you're the hard thing, Nils, is when you're looking at churches that are leading in this space, the churches that are doing a great job are usually the smaller churches. Because if you're a giant church now, you've gotten there doing things differently than the way the next, you know, wave of churches is going to do things, because digital and technology is changing so fast. Like if you're a big church like Elevation, you got there by having an amazing live event. I'm not convinced that the next big wave of churches are going to really make big differences and grow in their community by doing that. I think that the way that our culture has changed, the way that we attend Sunday services, I just don't think it's going to happen. With that being said, I will give, you know, Elevation props for pushing the limit when they already have something amazing working. They tell so many stories online. Stories that at no point say, and now you should come to our church as well. You know, stories that at no point kind of like twist at the end and say, sign up for this. They're just telling stories of life change, of people happening. And so if, you know, I don't know Elevation's mission statement, but basically every church mission statement can be distilled down to the Great Commandments, the Great Commission, or some combination of the two. So assuming that their mission statement is something like, you know God and make him known, what they're doing is when you share stories of life change, it allows people to enter into those stories themselves as the protagonist, as the lead character, and be like, man, that person's life was changed by the hope of Jesus. And they found community at this church. And now they have a life filled with purpose and direction, and they're moving forward into something greater. All of that allows us to really like buy into the story, and it allows us to kind of really be like fully engaged, and you know, we're suddenly the lead character. And again, you don't need to at the very end be like, and you should sign up online. All you need to do is tell these stories. And so that's one of the easiest ways to do it. And Elevation is probably, you know, one of the leaders that's doing it the best.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like Stephen Furtick has taken over my news feed, and I'm captivated by every video that I see come out of there. A lot of churches will say, though, that like, we don't have the video cameras, we don't have the video crew, we don't have the software and the time to create content like Elevation Church. What do you say to churches that kind of have that I can't do it mentality?
Nils, I'm so glad that you asked that question, because this is something that we've been talking about just for the last week. And that is, for everyone listening, I'm holding up my phone right now. This phone, the phone in your pocket, has radically changed the way that we interact with content. Just yesterday, I love film. I, you know, making films, geek out on video. So I follow a bunch of like film platforms online. And so there's this one website, you know, it's called No Film School, I think. And it's about, you know, teaching yourself how to make videos, especially cinematic ones. And this new trailer had come out for this movie. I can't remember the movie, but anyway, the film studio had released the trailer in 9:16 aspect ratio, AKA vertical video. Yep. And everyone in the thread was like, how? No, vertical video. No, vertical video is like from the devil. Turn your phone the other way. And that was like the first mainstream example of what I've been seeing for the longest time, which is with the rise of Snapchat and then the copying of Instagram stories, what has happened now is that we are 100% okay with bad quality vertical video shot on our mobile devices, which is the best news for churches ever, because every single one of us has a phone. And now there's no expectation from the online world that we need a $5,000 camera with a great lighting setup and the perfect audio. Yep. Because every single day, the majority of videos being watched online are now videos that are shot on our phones.
Yep.
So like the stigma of like, oh, that video is shot in a vertical aspect ratio, or the stigma of, well, that isn't full 4K. The dynamic range of that camera just isn't great. Well, that's slow-mo. You know, I can see some banding and you know, none of those things, that if any of those terms didn't mean anything to you, great, because they don't matter anymore. All you need to do is hold up your phone and be a good communicator and be a good storyteller, because the stigma and any baggage that was attached with, well, that just isn't as good quality, is gone. Thank you, Snapchat.
I love it. You know, I say that Facebook and the iPhone have leveled the playing field when it comes to churches. When you consider a 100-person church and a mega church, they both have the tools. Nick Vujicic is a client of mine for many years, and we've seen, even with his videos, we get twice as many views with the videos he shot with his phone than we do with the professionally shot videos, because people love that personal engagement they feel like they're getting with him through the mobile device. It doesn't mean you don't target or try to have high quality videos, but you can do some great stuff with a mobile phone.
Well, let's talk about that for a bit, because I 100% agree that, you know, we talked a little bit earlier. I talked about, like, I just don't think the next big wave of churches are going to, you know, reach the people they want to reach, however you want to track that, you know, grow big, reach your community, whatever it is that you want to achieve, like what success is for you. I don't think the next wave of churches are going to do it in this big event sort of thing, which is great news, because if you, as the church down the road from the big church, are always trying to create kind of like a knockoff, cheaper version of what they're doing, you're probably not being true to your DNA. And just, you know, strategically, I just don't think it's that great of a move. What we can do, though, is, go to the great equalizer, which is social nowadays, because you can be great on social and not spend a dime. You can be great on video and not spend a dime now. And that is the great equalizer, because you're not going to be able to get that sound system without spending a couple of dimes. Many, many, many dimes need to be spent. You know, that stage design wasn't free. But the great thing about digital is that now it's about meritocracy. It's about, do you have the talent and do you have the work ethic? Because you don't now need the huge like backing of finances anymore. And what's interesting, you mentioned this about your client, which is so true, because I'm beginning to see on Facebook now, the ads that are showing up for me are ones that are like, I used to see that person shoot in like a $10,000 studio, mm-hmm. and now they're just shooting it on their phone. Why are they going backwards? Because Snapchat has made it where that's what we now crave. And it's just so fascinating to think that that's happening. So we shot a face, man, this is so timely, Nils, all of this. We shot a video just yesterday and we started an ads campaign on Facebook. And the video is like just me walking in our office. Instead of me in the studio with the 4K and the perfect lighting and the color grading to match, it's just like us holding a phone and me walking through the office. And the ads campaign is already doing amazing. Like the relevance score is higher than the other ones we're running. And I'm just like, man, this doesn't seem like it should be, but it is. And I'll take it because it's a huge advantage to our churches. And it's a great equalizer.
I love it. Well, look, real quick question, just targeting social media, Instagram stories or Snapchat, which is your preference? And where would you encourage church leaders to focus?
Last year, we did this huge push on Snapchat. I flew out to Denver. I recorded a course called Snapchat for Churches or something like that. I created this hour-long podcast, and I created like a 5,000-word post called like The Ultimate Guide to Snapchat for Churches. We published all of them on the same day, Nils. That same exact day, I got an email from Instagram announcing Instagram stories.
Wow.
What are the chances on the same day? It took us like 4 months to produce all that content. And then Instagram was like, hey, we got this new thing. It's going to ruin everything you did. And that day, and this is why it's so important to not become nostalgic about the platforms that you love. I just recorded a podcast this morning already about like direct mail versus Facebook ads. I don't know when this is going to be published, but you know, we're right in the Easter season right now. Churches are beginning to think, hey, when are we going to, or what channels and avenues are we going to use to promote Easter? And this big thread on Facebook was like, I'm trying to convince my pastor not to use direct mail because Facebook is going to give a much better ROI. The reason that pastor doesn't want to do Facebook is because it's unfamiliar. He is nostalgic, or she is nostalgic, about something that used to work, something that they used to do. That is one of the most toxic things in the way that we do communications. And so when it comes to go back to my story on Snapchat, you know, what happened was I was getting, you know, I think like 500 views per story on Snapchat. And I'd just been doing it for a couple of months, which was like huge growth. I remember when I was getting 8 views on Snapchat and there's this huge rise. And then I saw, okay, my views per day are now decreasing rather than increasing. And my Instagram story views were going up. And so when it comes to like choosing which you should do, it all comes down to like your audience. So my audience, Pro Church Nation, as we like to call them, is not 25 and younger or 20 and younger on Snapchat. So I asked my cousin when Instagram stories dropped, and then I asked her a year later, I said, did you transition to Instagram stories from Snapchat? She's like, no, all I ever do on Instagram stories is post a picture saying, watch my Snapchat. And it's true. She does it like every single week, like once a week, because for her, Snapchat came of age and it was her platform.
Yep.
You know, Facebook was my platform. Instagram was like the generation in between. Snapchat was hers. And she wasn't going to be changing to Instagram because Snapchat was like, that belonged to her age group. What happened though was like Snapchat was on the precipice, like tipping point of going mainstream, where everyone was finally going to be like, all right, I'll sign up for Snapchat. But then Instagram stories dropped and everyone like that was like 30 plus was like, great, now we don't have to go to Snapchat. Instagram did it. Yay. And so I slowly stopped using Snapchat. I slowly started using Instagram more and more. And now I'm 100% into Instagram and barely into Snapchat because the Instagram stories just keep going up. My views just keep increasing. And so it was about where the people are. Simple as that. If you're a church, Facebook is almost always going to be number one.
Yep.
Right now, Instagram is almost always going to be number two. But keep in mind, that is as of March the 21st, 2017. Don't get nostalgic about a platform because the second that you start loving Instagram, friggin' Facebook stories is going to drop. And it already did, Messenger Day, and now testing Facebook stories, you know, and everything might change again. And this is why I'll go back to storytelling, Nils, being so important. It can feel exhausting trying to keep up with all the changes of the platform. It's like what I do full time. And so, you know, I love doing it. Yep. But when you're a church, I was meeting with this church the other day, they're like 2000. And the guy that was meeting with me was their social guy. He was actually also their children's pastor, and he was allowed to work on social 10 hours a week. And I was like, you're a church of 2,000, 10 hours a week to social. I was like, wanted to throw my coffee across the Starbucks because I was like, I don't know how to deal with that. Like, I don't know. And he's like, I know, it's so hard. You know, you probably don't have as much time to dedicate to social as I do. That being said, you learn the skill of storytelling. You learn how to be a storyteller on social. It does not matter which platform is cool right now because storytelling transcends every single platform. Most powerful form of human communication, always has been, always will be. Jesus used 35% of his teaching in the Synoptic Gospels using story. We know them as parables. it is not going away. Learn that, apply it to each platform and their unique nuances, and you don't have to worry about always like keeping up with the trends because you have the one thing that transcends all trends.
You know, it's hard to understand why that is so challenging for churches, because I feel like I hear this consistently when the reality is story should also drive the pulpit. And so we should be the best storytellers naturally. And obviously we have the greatest story to tell. Yet social media is such a new medium. We have a hard time making that shift from the pulpit to Facebook. What I hear from a lot of church leaders, I hear so many excuses of why not to do social media. Of by the time we figure it out, it's going to change again anyway. So I'm just going to throw my hands up and quit before I start. What do you tell church leaders that are just dragging their feet? Or do you even tell them anything? Just say you're just going to be left behind and deal with it. How do you navigate those naysayers?
Yeah, I'm not here to try to convince anyone to do something they don't want to do. The thing is, here's what's fascinating, Niels. Barna just released their State of Pastors 2017. And when I was born, the year after I was born, 1992, the average age of a Protestant lead pastor, so the most senior man or woman in the Protestant church, was 44 years old. As of 2016, just about 10 to 15 years later, that average age has increased by a full decade, 54 years old. So let's first start recognizing that the average senior leader in our churches is 54 years old, mid-50s. Now, let's look at the demographics of the world. Biggest generation in the history of humankind is my generation, millennials. A lot of the times we will be painted as this up-and-coming generation. Actually, we're already the biggest cohort, biggest generation in the American workforce. One in three workers is a millennial right now, meaning the biggest demographic your church is trying to reach in your community, assuming you're trying to reach families and not only seniors, is millennials. And this number is not peaking. That's not like the top end of it. 2020, that number is estimated to be one in two. And then by 2025 or 2030, it was going to be 3 in 4, 75%. So our churches are being led by older and older individuals, and our communities and cities are becoming younger and younger. And so this is where we run into these conversations, Niels, that I know you have all the time, as do I, which is you're talking with pastors and they're like, I just don't really see the point. And I say, okay, here's all the data. It's pretty conclusive. You don't have to do it. Do whatever you want. But, you know, things aren't going to end well if you completely ignore this. You know, you can fight against culture. Andy Stanley uses a great analogy. Like, if culture is the wind, you can spit into the wind all you want, and I'm not going to stop you. But it makes a lot more sense to go with the wind than mm-hmm. to, you know, spit into it or try to work against it. It's not, culture isn't a bad thing. Culture is just what's happening right now. It's just the way that we're receiving and interacting with information. And so there's no need to fight it. This is why not getting nostalgic about platforms or ways you used to do things is so important, because mm-hmm. that can cloud our vision. It can make decision-making difficult because, well, this used to work. Yeah, well, things don't work like that anymore. Yeah. And, you know, that can sound harsh, but it's just the way that it is. And so, yeah, I don't try to convince people that don't want to be convinced, because there's no reason. Like I can spend my time with churches that and pastors that want to try this and want to engage with culture. If you don't want to engage with culture, great. No one who's young is going to come to your church. it's as simple as that. So I'll tell a pastor that, and then suddenly they'll begin to be, well, I want young people to come to my church. I was like, okay, then you can't just do things the way that you do them and expect them to interact with those ways. Like, that's not the way they do them. So you can't have both. Either you engage with culture the way that culture engages, or you don't care about culture and just write off reaching those people. Make your decision. Either one is fine, but you can't have both.
To piggyback on that, you can't, some pastors will tell me, I got on Facebook to be relevant, and it didn't work. Young people didn't come to my church because I got on Facebook. And the reality is getting back to you saying, you've got to become a good storyteller on these platforms. If you're not relevant before Facebook, Facebook isn't going to make you relevant. The other question I have about that is the other side you hear is millennials are leaving Facebook as a platform. Do you see that to be the case, or what's your opinion about kind of that trend away from Facebook?
I like to make most of my decisions on empirical data as much as possible. And I haven't seen anything recently to speak to that with too much authority. But from what I have heard from people that I do trust is that people say that they're leaving Facebook, and yet, like, you know, it's not cool to say you're on Facebook if you're a millennial. You're like, yeah, I spend a lot of time on Facebook, and yet we still spend a lot of time there, you know? And there is a difference when it comes to reaching people between, like, I rarely post on Facebook, only big life events, but I scroll through my Facebook feed a lot. Meaning, if you're posting on Facebook, I'm still going to see it. It might seem like I'm absent from it, but I'm not. I'm there a lot. And so I don't want to speak with too much authority on that because I don't know too much about that. But there is a difference between, like, being active on Facebook when it comes to what people can see versus the, what, you know, being a fly on the wall and just viewing kind of in secret, just kind of keeping up with people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Let's talk about pro church tools. Let's talk about your, I guess, movement into building the company and what it is that you're doing today. I remember first meeting you and you were doing video announcements, and then things have really developed from there. It's been so fun to watch your journey. I would love to hear your core why you started the company, how that has developed, and how your company has matured and developed, and maybe even where you plan on going, if you're willing to share some of that.
Yeah, for sure. So the reason that Pro Church Tools started was because I got hired on as the media director at my church. And to this day, my pastor will say, I just saw something in you, Brady, which means I had no skills, but he believed in me. Like, it's a backhanded compliment, meaning we didn't hire you on merit. We hired you on, you know, personality or, you know,
potential.
Potential. That's a good one. And so basically I got hired on and I started learning all these things that I recognize as important: video, website, social, communications, graphic design. I started learning them from scratch. And so I was like, you know what, if I can learn these things and I'm like being forced to, I imagine that most churches aren't ready to hire like an expert in this area. And this was like 2012, 2013. And so I want to start a site basically just teaching everything that I'm learning. And so from the very beginning, Pro Church Tools has been about creating an audience. Pro Church Nation, I've said that before, that's what we like to call them. So it's not about like the product that we have right now, because the product will change. It's all about just creating a ton of free content. 90% of what we do is given away for free, and, you know, helping churches and leaders navigate this ever-changing world. Because, you know, that, to go back to that meeting in that Starbucks with that church, 2,000 people. This man was the children's pastor and was allotted 10 hours per week on social. They didn't even have one person dedicated to it, which, you know, it blew my mind. Like, this is a big church. So if you're a church of like 100, I mean, 200, 300, that's the average size church in North America. What are you doing? Well, you probably don't have a full-time person dedicated to it as well. And so we're here to come alongside you and really help you figure out those, you know, other 167 hours beyond Sunday. And so we've done video announcements since the beginning. Right now, I think as of this morning, we work with 123 churches each week creating their video announcements, which is fun. And the reason we do that is because don't waste time doing announcements. You know, spend your time on social. Spend it creating story videos. Let us do the announcements because we're awesome at them. Do not waste your time on them. Please do not. There's an entire site, Nils, dedicated to terrible video announcements made by churches. People always think I create it so that, like, I'll be like, no, buy our stuff, which I don't know who did it, but whoever did it is a genius, because that's, it's just awesome. Like tens of thousands of videos that are just like, man, that's what our churches are doing. Goodness.
Yeah.
We also, we're about a month away now from releasing our first software platform called Nucleus, which is super exciting. Basically, it's the all-in-one central hub for your church. When you do as many announcements as we do, Nils, we've done probably 20,000 individual church announcements in the last 5 years. What you'll see is, like, churches almost always kind of establish the next step for an announcement in like one of five ways. Actually, no, not one in five ways. It's sometimes all five ways. They'll say, like, you know, go to our website or download our app or call, you know, this office number or email this individual or go to the person in the lobby or talk to Pastor Sheila. And the problem is that people aren't taking action because there's like an unlimited amount of possible ways that they can do that. You give someone that many choices and they're not going to make any decisions at all. And so what we think churches should have, and Church on the Move was really the inspiration for this, They have two sites, churchonthemove.com, which is their main site where new visitors land on. You can see where the churches meet, directions, get times, kind of see what a service is like. They've also got this other website, cotm.info, and it's their one-stop shop for every single next step within their church. So if you want to give, cotm.info. You want to sign up for a small group, cotm.info. You want to see the church's calendar, cotm.info. Message notes, you get the picture. Every single thing is that next step. And so I met with the team, a couple of the guys at Church on the Move, and I was like, man, what if we created a platform like this for churches where they could, you know, create it themselves? Built mobile first, you know, because this is going to be accessible, you know, from mobile more than anything. And, you know, it could be fully customizable and, you know, inspired by this platform. They're like, yeah, do you want the code for it? And I was like, well, no, it's okay, guys. Like, we can create it ourselves, though. That's very, very generous. And so we're about a month away from launching that. And so we really, Church on the Move told me, they're like, we had an app before and the app just like, it didn't work. Like, there were so many barriers to downloading it. And, you know, you can't link out on social to an app. You can't be like, sign up for baptism and then like link out to an app. And so churches are always using like multiple platforms. This, I was like, no, you should just have one. Well, there isn't a great one. We'll build it. And so it's kind of the combination of a bulletin, a mobile app, and a website. It's like a mobile app, but there's no barriers to downloading it. It's fully customizable and changeable each week like a bulletin, and it's accessible like a website. And it looks gorgeous. The team that the design and development team that we work with is phenomenal. And so we're about a month away from that, nucleus.church, to get on the launch list, which is super exciting.
I love it. I cannot wait to see it and get my hands on it and play with it a little bit and see what it can do. I have, in my role at Community Bible Church, I would have loved to have a tool like that at my disposal. That's huge. So we'll share that out too as it goes live and talk about it. And we'll post that in the show notes, but nucleus.church. Very cool. Can you talk a little bit about the Academy and what you've done with the Academy and what, how that came about and what you're seeing out of the training you're doing in that area?
Yeah. So Pro Church Academy is kind of our online training school for churches. It's like, if you like our podcast, if you like our free videos, if you like our free articles and, you know, all the free training we're giving away on social, if you want to take that next step and really go like deep into some courses, that's what Pro Church Academy is about. I think there's like 300 plus lessons in there now, tons of like cheat sheets and templates and made for you resources, but also it's about like teaching you these skills. So, you know, one of our courses, pretty much the one that I think is most important, is called The Skill of Storytelling. It breaks down like the three-step church storytelling formula. Like, here's exactly how to tell a story. You know, almost every story is based on this archetype. It's not very different. Just learn this one and you'll be good to go. And so we've got about 1,200 active churches in there that we work with each month, which is awesome. And we only open up for that once a year, so it's not open for registration right now. But if you go to, I think, prochurchacademy.com, that's where you can you know, see the countdown timer and something like that.
Cool. Well, Brady, I love all the stuff you're doing. I want to encourage all our listeners. A lot of times we're hesitant to get on somebody's email list because we're going to get a ton of emails we don't want. Brady's email is one of my favorites, and that just packed with free resources and just packed with a ton of value. So that's an email list you want to make sure you're on if you're a church leader. So make sure you get on that email list so that you can stay updated on everything around Pro Church Tools. Brady, but before we wrap up, is there one tip you would really just, if you could tell church leaders one thing around social media, what would that one piece of advice be?
Yeah, the one piece of advice would be, knows that Facebook ads is the single greatest outreach platform in the history of humankind. There has never been a communication platform that big with that amount of targeting abilities. And so what we did was we put together this case study. There's this church of 120 people. They spent $78 on Facebook ads and got 47 new visitors, which there is no other outreach ad promotions platform that can duplicate that.
Yep.
47 new visitors. It was 11 families for $78. And this is a church of 120. Like, so like twice, like they grew by 50% in 1 week. $78. It's insanity. So what we wanted to do was like, okay, how did you do this, church? And so we got the actual image that they used on Facebook, the exact targeting that they used. This is the copy. Here's how they set up the ad. And we put it together into a case study. It's 100% free. And if you go to prochurchtools.com/ads, prochurchtools.com/ads, you can download that. And that's also the email list that Nils just mentioned. It's the same place for the email list. So feel free to check that out. Even if you don't download that, look into Facebook ads. It is the best outreach platform ever. And right now we're in this period that who knows how much longer it's going to last for. it will end where it is very, very underpriced. It's so affordable. $78, 47 new visitors. I can't believe that. I just So feel free to check that resource out, prochurchtools.com/ads, and start experimenting with Facebook ads either way. Just a couple of bucks here or there, and see what works, what doesn't.
Yeah, I started 7 years ago, and what it was then was a fraction of what it is now, but it's still a steal. So every church leader, even if you want to spend $5 a day, week, you're going to see incredible value. So many opportunities there. Just experiment. It's the best ministry opportunity that's sitting out there that people are taking advantage of. Yep. Brady, how can people connect with you and stay, just follow you on social media, email, that kind of stuff?
You mean, if you want to get on the email list, prochurchtools.com/ads. If you're going to get on the email list, get a free resource while you're at it right away. On social, I've been putting so much effort into Instagram lately. You know, I always like to point to just follow me on this one place. So Instagram.com/Brady Shearer, S-H-E-A-R-E-R, worst last name ever, because it's impossible to pronounce. It always sounds like Shear, but it's Shearer, @Brady Shearer on Instagram. You know, hit me up on the DM there. I'm really active there, responding and talking with people every single day. And what we're doing on Instagram, I think, is probably the best of what we're doing on social right now. So check that out.
Awesome. Well, go follow Brady on Instagram. Thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. If you would take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes, that would mean a ton. We'll talk to you next week.